You know, there is a First Timothy 4:16. Started with, take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul was warning Timothy to be careful what he believed. Be careful what you believe, Timothy. It will determine how your life ends. He says, take heed unto yourself, Timothy, my son, and to the doctrine. Doctrine is the kind of thing you accept as true. If you take heed and continue in the truth, it will save you and those who listen to you, those you have influence over. Your children will come to follow you. It will bring influence. It will bring the correct influence over people that follow you. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, says, therefore, take heed how you hear. For whatever, whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. Take heed how you hear. Be careful the kind of things you give your ears to, because it will lead to your believing something. So Jesus said, we must be careful. The Holy Spirit says, be careful about the doctrine. Now, why am I saying this? Because there is one important doctrine that I want to emphasize. And it's not a new thing. It's an old thing. But I need to go back there. And it is the doctrine of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most sacred message that God gives to mankind. That is the most important doctrine in that Bible. That doctrine, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that what will happen? Believe in him shall not perish but have. It's that's the most important message you find there. That is the sacred message. You don't mess with it. You don't add to it. You don't change it. You dare not. You dare not. Because that's the only message in that scripture that reveals God's plan to help mankind. It's the message that reveals to man God's plan to intervene in his life and do things for him that cannot be done any other way. It's the only message. The message of the gospel. It's the only message the scripture tells us is the power of God. It's a demonstration of the power of God. It's a revelation of the God's intervention, God's power at work in the life of people. It's only message that tells you how God intervenes in your life, radically changes your life. It's not character management. It's not character management. Character management can be taught. You, listen, character management, heathens teach it. My great-grandfather, they were not Christians. They will teach you character management in the house. It's so different. This is not character management. This is divine intervention. It is the hand of God that comes into a man's life and changes the man radically from inside, changes his nature, turns him from being a child of Satan and makes him a child of who? God. It's a radical move of God. It's not trying to be... Listen, the devil is not interested in character management. You can teach it all you want. You want it, I give you websites where heathens teach character management. They go from company to company teaching what they call motivation. Teach you how to be properly motivated. Unfortunately, in many churches, what they teach is character management. How to be good, how to be this. Listen, you can teach me how to be good, and the devil doesn't bother, because he knows that in church, it's not an issue, but outside church, he waits for you for 1 week. He will add pressure. And all that has to be good will what? Collapse. What collapse? All of it will collapse. But this message of the gospel is a radical thing. This is God at work, church. This is the hand of the Holy God. This is the Almighty God. It's called the power of God at work that comes in, gets into where nobody can go to. The creator of heaven and earth, the person that created you, came to do a new work called being born again. He takes out the old nature that is sinful, transforms you, changes you from inside out, and gives you a new nature, gives you his life, gives you his spirit, gives you his, come on, man, gives you his love that flows into your heart so that you can behave like a human being. It's a radical intervention of God to set man free from the thing that held him. There were demons that held us. We were held and bound by sin. The Bible says we are slaves of sin. A slave couldn't do anything. We are slaves of sin. The Bible says we are bound. We are serving Satan. He said we, or also all of you, we are under the power of the spirit that walketh in children of what? Disobedient. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't behave yourself out of that bondage. The thing was too powerful for you. The Bible says we were without strength. It's divine intervention to take on your enemies. The Bible said he dealt with all our enemies and all that hate us so we can serve God without fear all the days of our life. That's divine intervention, radical intervention. He took on your enemies. He took on the devil. Church, say amen. He took on the devil, made a publisher of the guy, put him under your feet, took sin and went to the cross, and nailed his power right there. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. And he said, hey, listen, if the Son shall set you free, you are free. He said, that's why I came, to set you free. It's a radical move of God. That's the most important message. There's no other way to be free except the Son does it. Before you became a Christian, did you go to Sunday school? Why teach you how to behave well? Which of them did you do? Not only that, and God gave you access to him, the privilege of access to all his blessings. All his blessings. All of it. All of it. I said all of it. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, how many of it? All of it. Access to his power. Was it not here? They brought one. There was one child that they had that had SS, sickle cell. SS. All the doctors here are SS. If you won't say it, I will tell them what you people tell them. So they had SS, right? And right here at this altar, you people were here. And we rebuked that spirit and said, that is of Satan. The power of Christ in you. The power that walketh in us went to work. Amen. Change that SS to AA. What is the girl that told me that? Where are you? Are you hiding? If I hide, I'll find you. Where are you hiding? Where are you? He said, my sister said, I will tell the story when I come. He said, I went home. They tested my son. He is AA. Amen. No SS. Yeah? I saw her. Where is she? Where is she? Yeah, right. That's the sister that said. The small Buddha. You remember the sister? That's your picking. Right. It was a hopeless thing. They put this girl, this small boy, medicine, all my stuff. But because of the radical intervention of God. Because we have access to his power. All of us. In the name of Jesus. All is well. All is well. I want you to lift up your hands and worship God. All is well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. There goes the power of God over you. Thank you, Jesus, for the intervention. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God at work. That's the most important message. That's a sacred message that God gave to the church. Go tell the world you are free. You are reconciled to me. And it is a prepaid blessing. What did I call it? Prepaid. You know, we went to Hawaii. I've been wondering why people go there. I don't know why people go there. Honestly speaking. But we had prepaid hotel. And when I arrived, I didn't need to pay anything. They were obligated to give me my key. And I took my wife into that room, and she was like, I like her. But my money was going. Hey, my credit card was going. And she said, and she came, I said, Kemo. So why would not come on Kemo after chopping my money? Chop. Oh, yeah. Have you seen anything like this? Chopping my money. God, they're calling me. I told her, I said, you know your name is Obiageli. You came to chop my money. All the men say amen. Amen. The Lord will help us. Amen. Which means if you didn't buy your wife a gift on Mother's Day, you still have opportunity. If I'm pastoring you, I will insist. Mother's Day, her birthday, you must go out and buy her a gift. That's what your pastor says. You must do that. That if I'm pastoring you, that's what I want you to do. We must be exemplary. Can I hear amen? Amen. We must be men that Jesus will be proud of. You know, you go there. Whatever, get her something and say, Christ in me is living. This is my love for you. Do that, and God will bless you. Amen? So, it's prepared blessing. Jesus paid it all. We sing it. Jesus paid it all. And after telling people he paid it all, we turn around and demand payment from them. It's an anomaly. Oh, Jesus paid it all. Are you sure what you're talking about? Why are you demanding payment from me? If I go to that hotel and they say, pay this and pay that, that would be, no, you can't do that. Because it is already paid for. Prepaid blessing. That's why it's grace. Because you don't come to pay for it. It's already, that's why it's grace. It's God's grace, mercy. He prepared it, swiped the card for you. On the cross. Why? You can't pay for it. You can't pay for it. What do you have to pay with? Tell me what you, even you as a human being, if people pay for you, you're a prostitute. God does not prostitute people. It's prostitutes that offer things for what? For sale. God is not into prostitution. And God does not do sales. Jesus paid it all. Can I hear amen? Amen. Paid it all. Ephesians 1:7. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood. Purchased it. He paid it. If you're bound, you are free. You should be free. You ought to be free because he prepared for your freedom. It is yours for the taking. He prepared it. He purchased our freedom with his blood, with the blood of his son, and forgave our sins. It's a major message of reconciliation. And God says, I gave you this message of reconciliation. Go tell the world to come and be reconciled to me. I'm not counting their sins anymore. Somebody paid for it. Oh, but the church won't tell it. Oh, yeah, God. You are counting their sins. So what about this they did? What of the one you did? What of the one you yourself did? What of the one you did today? What of the one you did yesterday? What of your own sin? Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of what? Darkness. Is it something that is going to happen? It's already. It's from the kingdom of darkness. That kingdom of darkness represents all the powers of Satan and whatever he can do. All his powers and whatever he can do. Amen. I know I was in the aircraft, we were coming back, and the devil came. He said to me, he said, you know, this plane can go down. You will die. Your wife will die. And they said, your funeral, your church will be preparing. They'll be crying. I said, the devil, Jesus already died for me.
So shut up and do what? Get up. I'll be preaching tomorrow and I'll tell them what you are saying. And the man did what? Shut up. Praise the Lord. So he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has transferred us. He has transferred us. Brethren, are you going to heaven? You're already there. You're in the kingdom of God. What other kingdom are you going to go into? You're already there. He said he has transferred, he has purchased our freedom. Transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Not going to. You're already there. Are you in Christ? You're in his kingdom. The same family in heaven. You're there. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm there. And I turn to the neighbor and say, if you look for me, I'm there. You know, some Christians don't even know they're there. They think it's when they die, they will go there. No. Let me repeat something. Death doesn't add to your spiritual well-being. The Bible calls death an enemy. Death does not help God. Let me say it. Death is an enemy. Death does not help God. The Bible said the last enemy to be is what? Death. Death doesn't make you holier. It doesn't make you better. The only thing it does is takes this thing that's dirty. This thing that you go and leave this world. You can't be more righteous than you are now. He said, Pastor, are you sure? Are you not joined to Christ already? Didn't the Bible say he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit? Is he joined in this blessing, this reality, is it in heaven or now? Talk to me, church. The benefit of cross, is it tomorrow or now? It's now. If I'm joined to him, when I die, I'm still joined to him. And I'm going there because he's joined to my spirit. When we arrive there, this joining is eternal one. That's why I said marriage, the physical marriage, I keep repeating this thing. Physical marriage is one flesh. And death do us what? Part. But with Jesus, death does not do you part. You continue that relationship. Amen? So he purchased our freedom, forgave our sins, verse 19. Let me rush down to verse 19. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. 20. And through him, amen. And through him, God what? Reconciled everything to himself. Through Jesus, John. Through Christ, he reconciled you to what? Himself. Through Christ. It's not through you. It is not about you. Has nothing to do with you. It's a prepared stuff. Through Christ, through what he did on the cross, he paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. God said, well, it is paid now. Come and be reconciled to me. But the church won't accept it. They won't. God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of what? Christ's blood. By means of what? Christ's blood. That's the means to with this peace with God came. My friends, you have peace with God. Only three people had it. I said, Obi, you have peace with what? With God. Can you say a big amen? Come on. I want to tell it to you again. You have peace with God. Come on, say another amen to that. It is through his blood. It is through his blood. This is the sacred message. I'm telling you. The most important thing is the cross. Every prophet that came before, all they wrote about was Jesus. They said, we found him who the prophets and Moses what? Because he's the plan of God for saving man. God has no second plan. There's no plan B. That's the only plan. And that's revealed in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And they said, for God in all his fullness, fullness was pleased to live in Christ. 20, and through him God reconciled everything to him. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. 21, this includes you who were once far from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Is that correct? Now, 22, Yet now he has what? Reconciled you. Prepared. Not going to. Reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. What is the result? As a result, he has brought you where? Into his own brethren. If you are reconciled, if two of us are reconciled, shouldn't I come? What is there again? There's nothing again there. He has brought you into his own presence, and you are. And why? Because the blood. The blood. Somebody say the blood. The blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the. Stop. 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 Don't annoy me this morning. We sing all this really. We sing, we don't believe what we sing. We don't believe half of what we sing. You know, the Lord said to me one time, he said, the church will believe what they sing. He said they will see incredible move of God in their lives. He said it is their doubt that is keeping my hand. It's their doubt. They love religion. They love it like nothing else. There are things you can't take away from Pentecostals. Their programs and their number. They're always boasting about how many they are and how many programs what they've done. Watch what I'm telling you. Fellowship all over the place. Fellowship, fellowship. Pentecostal, fellowship. They will sleep. Fellowship, fellowship. Start one tomorrow, they will come. Take any address here. By Tuesday, they are there. Program, program. Carry your Bible. Bro, are you not going with us? Again. Let me tell you. You won't grow with that kind of thing. And that's why a lot of people are cannot. You won't grow with that kind of thing. What will grow? You sit down at the feet of Jesus and let him teach you. Can I hear amen? You grow by that interaction with him. That's when he opens all this waka, 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 jack of all trade, master of none. Looking for what they give you title. Come, I will give you title. I have one. Believer. That's the title. What? Believer. Should be satisfied with that. That's why here I don't do deacon. I don't do, because title make gets into people's head. Because they're not matured enough to handle things like that. So I won't give you what will kill you. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. This includes you who are once far from away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, now he brought you into his presence. So you see how important the gospel is. People must hear this thing. People must know it, and the church must be rooted in it. It must be the principle that leads your life. That is the principle wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. The Bible calls the wisdom of God. That is the principle thing in life. This is the principle wisdom. This is the key wisdom. This is the word that God sent to the world. This is the word that God sent. He sent his word and healed his Christ. The word made flesh. This is the key thing. This is the truth, brethren, that if you know it, you shall be saved free. If you don't know it, you will not benefit. And so the devil is interested in either stopping you from preaching it or blocking you from understanding it. Because he knows that there's no other plan. So if you can stop you from telling people, they will all be in bondage. If you can also stop you from understanding it, ignorance will also finish. So he's out walking hard. Very out walking hard. There is no message that has been fought against like the gospel. He has killed people for it. He has thrown people out of church. He has done all he can do to stop this message. Right from the beginning, when Christ came, he wanted to kill him as a baby. Praise the Lord. And all the people that preached it, go and read what he did to them. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and see he's caught some people asunder. He did all to stop them. He is desperate about stopping us. But we are desperate to preach it. Can I hear amen? Acts 4:18. Acts 4:18. And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all. Commanded them not to speak what? At all. Not teach what? In the name. Don't mention this name. Don't want to hear it anymore. Acts 5:40. Acts 5:40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, read the next one. I want you to, go back. Acts 5:40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, they did what? They beat them silly. That's the devil at work. Beat them. And why should they beat them? They commanded that they should not do what? Speak the name of Jesus anymore. Don't talk about this man. Why is he bothered about it? Because that's the only plan. That if you know, you'll be set free from his influence. You think he's foolish? 2 Corinthians 4:3. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Why is it hidden? Satan, who is the god of this world, has what? Blinded the mind of those who don't believe. He doesn't want them to believe it. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Their mind is blinded. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Continue. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves, because it's not about us. We preach what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves are merely servants of Jesus Christ. Then verse 6. For God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light shine where? In our own hearts, so we could know it now. He's giving us revelation, so we know the glory of God that is seen in the life of Christ. See the power of God, the glory of God, the power of Christ, the power of God that is seen in the life of, revealed through the cross, what God has done. The next verse. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Light is revelation. Shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like what? Fragile clay jars. Just what we are. But we are containing something. This great treasure. What is that great treasure? That revelation of Christ. That great light shining in us. This makes it clear to us now that our great power is from who? From God. And not. So we don't live our lives trusting in ourselves. We are just mere clay. We have understood there's a power that worketh in us. Can I hear amen? There's a power that what? Worketh in us. And that power does what we can't do naturally because we are mere clay. You must understand that. That's why Paul said, he said, it is no longer I, because I'm mere clay. He said, but it is Christ now. It's that power. It's that light that shines. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, when the scripture says, let your light what? Shine. Then we storm out trying to show people how Christian we are. That's ignorant. What he's saying, what he's talking about is, trust in that light. Jesus is always the light. Jesus is what? Always the light. Jesus what? He reflects through us. You are not the light. If human beings are the light, then everybody is light. No. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the light. So he's the light. He says, he's the light that lightens every man that comes where? To this one. He's the light that lightens your life. So that when people see you, they see Jesus at work. They see a reflection of him. They see a reflection of Christ. That's the spirit of Christ. Because we are mere clay. Fragile clay. We have no light. Amen. Come. Can somebody go there and turn off this thing? Quickly. Turn off the light. Just, I know where you stop. Don't go. I know where you stop. But turn it off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gone. Gone, gone. You see this bulb? Oh, yeah, bulb, show light. Can you show light? Okay, let the power come from the source. So I turn it on. Turn it on. Pam, 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 pam. That's how we are with Jesus. We are mere bulbs. The light inside is Christ. When you switch it on with your faith, it shows. When you switch it on with your what? Faith. The thing comes. You switch it off with your doubt because now you are trusting yourself as the source. The light goes off. Anytime you think you are the source, the light goes on. Because it is the revelation of the hand of God, the life of Christ. Can I hear amen? Amen. Thank you. So verse 8, let me show you now what happens because of this. Verse 8, we are now pressed on what? On every side. By what? Guess who is doing that? Okay. But we are not crushed now. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Verse 9. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not what? Destroyed. Guess who is doing that? It's the enemy. Verse 10. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in this death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our lives. So we're sharing. Say, he too passed through the same suffering. They did the same thing to him. So they are doing the same thing to us. So that the same life he lived is the same life we're living. Continue. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying body, that he lived under constant threat of death. 2 verse 12. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life. We are pressing forward with this thing. Brethren, let's pray forward. Say, we are pressing what? Forward. We are not giving up. Then what? The next verse. But we continue to preach. Can't stop us. They can't stop you. I said they can't stop you. We continue to what? Preach. Because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God and I spoke. Verse 14. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches, more and more what? As God's what? Does what? Reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more. You see why the devil was fighting him? You see why he was fighting him to discourage him, to stop this thing? And the man said, no, I have that spirit of faith. I know this is true. I am going to continue to preach it. Oh, praise the Lord. Then the next verse, come on, the next verse. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. 7th. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. That's small. Yet, they produce for us a what? A glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Everybody say amen. Amen. So knowing the scheme of Satan, what are we supposed to do? 1 Corinthians 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You must not stop. When you see opposition to the gospel, understand you are not the first. And understand that that's what the enemy... But because you have the spirit of faith, you believe it. You preach Christ crucified. You insist that he is the only one that God has sent to save mankind. And that the cross is where it all happened. If we want to glory, we glory in what? In the cross. Amen? Now, Philippians 1:16. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to what? Defend the good. You must defend it. It's a sacred message. You must defend it. You must stand up and preach it. You must not back down. You must not be ashamed. You must not say, okay, I don't want to offend you. Yeah, let me offend you. The Bible says the cross has offense. Paul said, if I preach the law, say I will not be persecuted now. But because I'm preaching the grace of God, he said, now all hell has what? Let loose on me. He said, if I'm preaching Moses and the others, nobody will persecute me. But because of the cross, there's an offense. The devil starts an offense. In fact, the Holy Spirit calls it stumbling block. That people will stumble over this thing. Provided you don't stumble. Amen? Then the reason these things happen is we must understand that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is a revelation of the wisdom of God. And I want you to listen to me. And the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of men. It did not come from human thinking. It didn't come from human thinking. The plan of salvation was not human idea. It That's what I told the white people. We were in a conference and they started to talk some things. And I raised up my hand and I said, listen, I said, Christianity is not an American proposition. I want you to know that. And there is no inferiority in this thing. You have no corner in this thing. So don't come here and bamboozle me, because the Bible tells us the truth. The word of God is absolute what? Truth. Because they say to me, they say the word of God is true, but not the truth. I yelled immediately. I said, oh, no, stop there. And I told them, no, the word of God is the truth. And they said, well, that's okay, Christianity, is it there? I said, no, it's not an American idea. It's from heaven. Can I hear amen? I said, it came from the heart. This plan was finished before the creation of what? It's not something you came up because you're American, you went to Mars, and you think it's the same thing, we're going to Mars. No. This wisdom is too intricate for man to understand. There is nothing that God does that you can articulate with your intelligence. Nothing. Absolutely what? The love of God is beyond human understanding. All of it. Totally. Now, it throws off people because now they want to understand it. So are you saying people should commit sin? No, I didn't say that, because you don't know it. That except the Son sets a man free, sin will be his master. Because you don't know it. Except the Son sets a man free, he's a slave of sin. It doesn't make you commit sin. He sets you free. The man is without power. He said, make clay. Clay has no power. He gives him power so that he cannot do all things through Christ. The man's heart is wicked, desperately wicked, and God gives him his love so he can treat people with grace and respect and forgiveness and mercy. That's what grace does. That's what it does. But if you are ignorant and you don't understand it, you look to the laws and look to man. And the wisdom of man will come to what? Sin. And God said, lean not unto your own understanding. We'll finish. And it's a tragedy, brethren. There's so much carnality going on. You know what carnality does? Let me tell you what it does. It's something you want to run away from. It makes a Christian behave like an ostrich. You know what an ostrich is? He has his head well, but the bulk of his carnality makes you religious. You think you are holy. You think you are good. You are just being an ostrich. Because the bulk of your carnality is being seen. People see it. Everybody knows how everybody is. You can't hide things for long. Pretty soon, the ostrich will shoot. Is that true of us? Tell you what is a fact. And you say, I didn't know he's like that. No. He's kind of, you're just finding out. The ostrich has always found out from people who are close to them. Don't worry about how we dress up in churches. Forget about this. Look beyond the, this is so beautiful. But when I take it off, only my wife and children know me. Only my wife and children, what? The minute you come in, I'll stand up and say, yes, my brother, what do you want from me? Good afternoon. I hope your family is okay. And my wife will be going, really? Really? This man. We have perfected an act of deception. And we call it Christianity. You know you can't deceive God. You end up deceiving what? Yourself. If the Son does not set you free, you are an accomplished deceiver. Case closed. If you operate carnal mind, you will remain a deceiver all your life. Because carnal mind is dangerous. It's the mind of the unbeliever. That's how it works. And so, see, the devil knows. He will try to keep you carnally minded. He will try to keep you, block you from knowing this truth. So he keeps you carnally what? Minded. And by keeping you carnally minded, listen to this, he will make you walk by sight, because you don't know what to believe, and what to believe is wrong. So he will keep you walking by what? Sight. And then you walk by what you do, what people do. And anywhere you enter, you see fault. Because that's your life. It's kind of mine. You don't see nothing. You see fault. You don't see God at work. Because he has blinded. Because Jesus is a revealer of God. When you allow the gospel to enlighten you, you don't see men. You see God. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see what? God. That's why when they say there's a casting down, you say no, there is a lifting up. Because you are seeing the hand of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. This girl, this young girl was pregnant. She had a baby and nobody showed her mercy. She ran to the only one who could show her mercy, Jesus. And look at her testimony today. Because somebody should see in that situation a hand that can restore, a hand that reconciles, a hand that doesn't kill, a hand that can build, a hand that can come into a mess and make it a testimony. Look at her, married, happy, crying for the goodness of Jesus. The devil can blind you. The first thing you do, because you see only evil, say, see what she did. And she called herself a Christian. And you take stone. And when you throw that stone, bam, you set yourself up. I'm telling you the truth. You are going to do what she did. It's a matter of time. You may not be pregnant, but you fall into that sin. Because if you dig a hole for somebody, the Bible says you will what? Fall into it. Watch me, I'm telling the truth. You are throwing stone, packer. You are going to commit sexual sin. You may not physically, but you are going to get there. Because you dug that hole. You dug it. Yep. The Bible says judge not. So you don't be judged. But unless the Spirit of God opens your eyes to see Christ, you will see God. Because Christ is the revelation of who? God. It's through Christ you see God. When your eyes is open to see the grace of God in Christ, you see God at work. When you see a fallen man, you don't see the fallen thing. You see a hand of restoration. Your words there will totally different. You bring comfort. You will see a broken person. You will see all your heart will go out. Is there anyone I can help you? Take my hand. Let's go. Let go, because you see God doing the same. Jesus said, what I see my Father do is what I do. You see God doing the same, and you do the same. But when you don't see God, you go back and say, did you see that brother that comes to church? The one that sits in front now, have you heard what he did? Ah. I said, that's the way they call themselves Christian. No. Don't tell anybody what I do. He's in the choir too. That's the way they sing. All those choir people, I'm telling you now. Now, between these two people, who is behaving like Christ? The one that went to tell, or the one that went to love? Now, who would God use? This one. What would this result? Restoration. For God does not desire the death of what? His sinner. Wants him restored. Are you getting my point? Now, if this spirit rules between husband and wife, this is heaven on earth. Between husband and wife, this is heaven on earth. I'm telling you. Because you only see God at work. When she fails, or you fail, you minister grace. Because you are ruled by the spirit of grace. You are compelled by the love of God. You are moved by the spirit of Christ. He came to seek and to save. Not to find fault, not to condemn, not to destroy. So, knowing letting God reveal the gospel to you is a key thing that a Christian must desire. You must pray for it. It's important that you go to God and say, open my what? My eyes. Because when you see Christ, you see God. If you are faced with difficulty, let me tell you the truth. If you are faced with any challenges, you don't see those challenges. You see God. You see God. You see God. The word of God comes alive. You see God. This is what he said. This is what he's doing. Instead of you succumbing, praise will rise. Because you know how that thing is going to end. Praise will rise. And then you have something to share with somebody who is who is under certain situations. You bring the word. Why are you bringing the word? Christ is revealing to you the hand of God that will never leave us or forsake us. Revealing to you, it is of the Lord's mercy on our conscience. And his mercy faileth not. Do you know what? People would like to hear you. I was talking to one pastor. He called me. He said, my church is finished. He said, they can't pay salary, nothing. I said, do you preach Christ to them? I said, you preach death. That's why they're dying. He said, Jesus is the manna from heaven. Believe you me, when the convention, all of a sudden I carried my bag. I left. I didn't know that God was sending me to go and talk to them. Immediately I got to my room. I saw the text he sent me about the problem. And I called him. We had that conversation. And then something said to me, that's why God brought you here. Took you out to come and talk to that man. I took him through the gospel. I said, you teach your people Christ crucified. That's the food of the Spirit. When they eat it, they'll be alive. And if they're alive, they know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Giving to God becomes their nature. You don't force them. I say in our church, we don't talk about money. Do I talk about money? I'm asking you now. Don't talk about money. What do you talk about money for? No. Because once you eat manna, you have life. And once you have life, I'm not the one to tell you what to give. You and the Holy Spirit talk all the time now. So you're going to church, you say, hey, that's $100. No, I want three. Have you had that experience before? You say, the Lord, they say, yes, I want you to give. Now you have been taught to walk with Christ. That's what the pastor does. Teaches you to walk with who? Jesus. It's not the Lord over you, tell you what to do. No. You walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. As many as are led, you learn to be led by the Spirit of God. So when you do some things, you come back and say, Obi, I'm sorry. You know, that thing I told you, I'm really so sorry. I don't have peace. Why? He restored my soul. He's restoring you to the right path. And you are not ashamed to go and say, I am sorry. Because it's a noble thing to do. You find nobility in humility. You find the glories in humility. It's not in what people think of me. No. It's in being Christ-like. Amen? I didn't hear a big amen. You know, we came back yesterday and my wife said she was cooking and then everything. And I said, hi. I said, rest. So I need to get these things ready. Then after that, I felt bad that I hadn't gotten up to help. Instead of helping, I dozed off. So I went to her later. I said, honey, no. I said, I really appreciate you. Hey. I said, you spent hours. She didn't know I was dealing with my guilt. But I was I was pretending to be good. My conscience was on me. Should have helped her. He didn't help her. And I said, oh, you did so. Hey, I said, you cooked. I said, no, I love you so much. She thought, she didn't know I had an issue. My mind was pummeling. That at least you'd have got, you sat here and saw her carry things down. And you say, well done. Why didn't you get up to carry something? So, you know, when you do some things, you try to be extra good. It's not because you want to be good, though. It's because your conscience is dealing with you. You want to compensate for it. They call it compensation. So, you see, the Spirit of God will do things like that. It's not by law. There's no law that says I must carry rice, carry stew. But the Spirit of God will say you should have done that. Am I right? Yeah, I should have done. One time she was cooking and I was studying. He said, stop that studying. Go and help her. And I went up. I said, honey, do you need me? He said, yes. I want you to go and buy this. But she made a list. I rushed out. I bought it. I went and sat down. And then that voice said again, no, you're not done. Go up and help her again. And I got up. He said, I want you to wash this place. I said, my God. I'll be preaching this side. You know, it's not just her. I mean, I'm talking of relationship with people. You find the Spirit of God guiding you in all of this. It's not law. This is living. This is life. Living. And you learn. You say something, you say, no, you didn't minister grace there, you know. How low? Lord, did I? No, you didn't. Should have said it like this. That's Christianity. And that's sustainable. Instead of the one you are struggling to do and all of a sudden you get tired. And now you go from good to bad. Am I the only one? Is it because I married you? Am I the only one? Because you are tired. But now you are sustained by the grace of God. The grace that brings salvation is teaching you to deny all godliness. It's working in you, the power. You trust in that power. It's not you. You are clay, but that power sustains you. Continuously sustains you. Continuously, he said, we are kept by what? So you are steady. Then you go from glory to glory to what? To glory. And to what? To glory. Amen? So we need this revealed to us, because if we don't have a revelation of it, the devil will use our mind. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, get thee behind me, what? He said, because you don't think like God. He said, it's a dangerous trap. If you don't have a revelation of the truth, believe you me, your mind will be a beehive of demonic activity. You won't know, but you'll be motivated. All of a sudden, you get angry for no reason. I mean, you just get angry for no reason. I'm not kidding you. And slightest thing, you go off your rockers. You find that you are doing this by compulsion. You can't stop it. It's demonic. You are not possessed, though. There's a Japanese proverb that says, to err is human, to repeat it is demonic. I don't agree with them, but that's what they say. You find that, believe you me, you are doing certain things by compulsion. You want to stop, but you can't. Because there's a seed in your heart that's producing that. There's a seed there. The Bible says the reason Christians don't come is because the seed of God is what? It's there. It's not because of your effort. Say because you have the word of God in you. There's a word you have that's wrong belief. That's what's causing it. If you will go to God, God will show it to you. And he will uproot it, plant it with the one that will produce the life of Christ. Amen? And then you come into the gospel and see what God has done. You are now a new creature. All things have passed. When you believe it, embrace it, you experience it. It's as simple as that. Because it's prepared. It is what? Prepared. And David said, open thou my eyes, that I will behold wonders. And what happened to him? When he saw Goliath, he was talking about the hand of God. He said, today, God will do this. God will do this. God will do this. God will do this. And all Israel will know that God does not say by all these things. He says, I come to you in the name. He knew by revelation, because he went to God and said, open thou my eyes. And when Jesus came, he was quoting David. He said, David said, so. David said, my Lord said to my Lord. He said, David spoke by the Holy Spirit. Go and read your Bible. He quoted David most of the time. Because the man said to God, open my what? And Paul, a man that had revelation. And David had victory. And Paul came and went to God and said, open my what? Eyes. And the Bible says he had abundance of revelation. He started to talk of Jesus. He's my life. My all. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. He began to talk of Jesus Christ. He said, the treasure we have, 18 verses. But at the end of his life, what did he say? I have fought what? Good fight. I have finished it. He said, what is waiting for me? What? David had victory. Paul had victory. Because your faith is your victory. But that faith has to be in Christ Jesus, not in yourself. And I want to declare to you today, I don't know what you are bound by. I don't know what is causing your trouble. I don't know what name they call it. Whatever it is, whether it's sickness, I want to declare to you and align on that the Son has set you free. And as many as believe this thing, they will see it working in their life. It is prepared. God has wiped it for you. All you need to do is to stretch forth your hand and take it. Are you bound by habit? You shouldn't be. Because your freedom has been prepared. The Bible says he bought it for you. He paid it. He swiped the divine card. Jesus. Shalom! And freedom is yours. But you know, I can prepare things for you. We'll take it. And the devil will say, no, you are not like that. Don't you understand who you are? You are bad. You are evil. No, you are not. God has changed your life. Listen to me before I finish. One more thing. You know, when God offered Israel freedom, took them all the way to their promised land. When they got to their promised land, God says, I have given you what? This land now. They went, he said, go and look at it. And God said, it flows with what? They came back and said to God, you are a liar. It flows with a giant. And they're about to kill us. And we are grasshopper. And God said, exactly what you said is what you're going to have. And two people said, no, it's our land. We don't talk about what we see. God, the last in us, God. They talk about God. Revelation. Revelation. And God gave them the land. But those who said it's not our land, they didn't see. You can sit up there. And God says, I brought you to a place that flows with what? Through the gospel. I've changed your life. I've blessed you. I've set you free. I've done all that. And you sit up there and say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. There is sin in my life. There is God says, okay. Is that what you want to talk about? Enjoy it. But let me tell you, regardless of what you see, switch from what you see to what you believe. And you see your life transform like that. Did you get what I'm saying? As many as believe, they have received. I want you to rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.